more park updates in the news, and today we rank all our favorite Disney castles from around the world. All this and more on this week's episode of the We Like Theme Parks podcast.
Podcast. I did Miriam's part.
That was good.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we proudly present a spectacular festival of theme park audio commentary magic, the We Like Theme Parks podcast.
Yo. Bring it back now.
Welcome, foolish mortal.
Welcome, my fellow theme parkers, to the We Like Theme Parks podcast, your go-to spot for news, opinions, and other nerdy fun happenings in and around the Disney and Universal theme parks. I'm Chris Bond. How do you do? Fine, how are you? Today I'm joined by my co-hosts, Disney bounder, theme park fashionista, and silver-haired fox from the Churro Fund. It's Miriam Kenley. Hi, Miriam.
Hi, what a wonderful thing to say.
Isn't it right?
I love silver foxes.
Right? See, I'm doing all right.
Happy to join the club.
Hey. I got the membership card and everything. It's beautiful. And we're also joined by comedian, Diz nerd, and just overall wonderful human. It's Mark Andrada. Mark, you're wonderful.
Aw, thanks, man. That's so nice. You're doling out the compliments today.
Yeah. I've been riding you guys a little bit lately, so I thought I would just, you know, ease in.
You've been riding us lately? What do you mean?
Well, you know, I'm not like physically, but, you know, just kind of, you know, like in these showcase showdowns, I've been a little pushy, a little Mark, you know, I'm like doing my thing.
No, that's your brand.
That's nice. My brand, but so I can circle back and just say nice things about you guys because I care about you both and I think you're great people.
Yeah. You know what?
You're great too.
Yeah, I was about to say, I feel the same.
Oh, thanks, friends. Well, it was a great start to the show. Just like a little love in, a little.
Yeah.
If we weren't on Zoom, we could like have a legit group hug. But, you know, through the interweb, here's my affection. I don't know. Here it is. Can you feel it?
Is this like one of those weird cuddles we talked about earlier?
Yeah, it's a weird cuddle. But
yeah, we talked about weird cuddles before we were on the air.
We did. Guys, so much happening, so much to talk about. But I wanted to talk about something. Did you guys check out some Hamilton on the Disney Plus?
Yes.
Because I did. It's,
I haven't.
It's fantastic. You didn't? What?
Oh, you did. You did watch it.
Me? Okay. No, I haven't watched it yet. I've been waiting for my mom to get home from her anniversary trip.
I was about to say her honeymoon. My goodness, yes, congratulations.
Her 40-year honeymoon.
Oh, that's nice.
I got to say, I was one of these people that were a little bit in the dark on Hamilton. Like, I knew how much everybody loved it, how it's this groundbreaking thing. I think Lin-Manuel Miranda is amazing. And then I maybe knew one or two songs that I just heard. And then I watched the thing, and I'm like, wow, this thing's awesome. This is truly amazing. How they do so much with so little, to be honest. Really simple set. The staging spectacular. The choreography spectacular. I almost want to watch it again with the caption on so I can really like read every lyric, because I'm sure there's stuff I'm missing just in the things move quickly. But man, and also, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, I'm not super awesome on my American history. It was a kind of a lesson, you know, it was great.
I don't know how accurate it is. Isn't that something that people have been calling into question recently, that it's not accurate? Oh. I mean, I don't think it needs to be accurate because it's a stage play. So I don't think they need to be super, super like perfectly accurate to everything. I feel like some people were discussing online that it's problematic because it's not accurate. I'm like, I didn't dive deep into it, so I don't know. Right. I can't really. Maybe I shouldn't have brought it up at all.
I think it's because they shoved a lot of things that didn't happen all at once into one play, right?
Right.
But that's to make it entertaining. So I think people need to not be as hung up on it not being accurate.
Yeah, they Hollywoodized
criticism of art, the history. Honestly.
Yeah.
Maybe they should, like, if you want to study history, study history. This is a, this is a musical. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go to a musical to watch a beautiful musical.
All right. Then maybe also, I should read a book then, because, you know, I was taking all this for face value. Maybe I shouldn't.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's good books about it. So why not?
All right. Fine.
You shouldn't tear down like your original joy of the thing.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, I don't think it will. It was so great. It was super fun. The only thing I have, can I put a little criticism out there? Because that's, again, that's on brand apparently. It's just a little too long.
you thought so, hey?
Yeah. If you feel like if you cut like 7 minutes out of act two, I think it would do a lot of, it would just
this guy
make it,
picking up 7 minutes in act two. Which seven minutes are you cutting out of act two?
It's tough. It's tough.
Really put you on the spot.
I don't, like, I've only watched it once, so it's tough. It felt laborious to get through the whole thing. Act mm-hmm. one is so, like, because act one is the wartime stuff, and it's so engaging. And then after the fact, it's like, after the fact, it's very, oh, his political views and some of the things he was getting into, and, you know, his situation with his family, and just other stuff that it was interesting. And but it felt like pieces of the story where the big nut of the story was that act one, like America becoming America, you know, no longer the thumb of the king. So I don't know. For me, like, once that was over, I was like, where do you go now? And then there's engaging things and interesting things, but mm-hmm. not as interesting as act one. So it just felt laborious. And when you see, the running time on it, you go, well, there you go. It's a little long.
David Diggs as Thomas Jefferson. Like, he's so good as Lafayette in the first half. And then in the second half, he comes back as Jefferson.
Yeah.
And his Jefferson, to me, like, I mean, Aaron Burr is amazing throughout the entire show. Mm-hmm. But I really had a thing for how David Diggs played that role. That second half was unreal.
He steals the show. That guy steals the
show. He really does. Incredible. So good.
Yeah. We're going to talk about it. And poor Miriam's going to be like, who do they know about it?
I know. You're right. I'm sorry. Spoiler for Miriam.
No more spoilers.
You can talk about it.
I just wanted to say it was great.
For
I
sure.
Really
listen to the soundtrack. So.
Right. Yeah. Fair enough.
Great. Can I say something
else? I'm wondering, do we think now that it's a Disney property being on Disney Plus, is there room for one of these songs in the Voices of Liberty at Epcot?
Oh, I like that.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, that would be so good.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I love this.
Miriam, bringing it in.
I'm impressed.
I've really thought about it all weekend, you know?
How do you integrate that into Liberty Square?
Just what song? What song would you choose?
I'm not sure. Let me watch it and then I'll choose.
Okay, fair.
I like it. Guys, I've been watching a lot of Disney Plus.
Next episode.
Can I tell you the next thing about Disney Plus that's amazing after Hamilton?
Okay.
I have young kids, 3 and 5 almost in a month. They'll be 3 and 5.
If you say Artemis Fowl, I'm going to lose my mind.
I'm not going to say Artemis Fowl. I'm going to say Lego Star Wars. Okay. They have something called Droid Tales, which essentially is all the prequels and original series of Star Wars movies done in little, maybe 25 minute segments being kind of narrated by C-3PO. Like, C-3PO is kind of the tie that binds through all those movies. And they're hilarious and they're fun and tells the story of Star Wars from a different perspective. And my kid, all of a sudden, in a weekend, loves Star Wars, wants a lightsaber, and is a Star Wars fan. Thanks to this show on Disney Plus.
Wait until she watches those sequels then. Going to be sealed forever.
And there's a ton of them. There's a ton of these different, like, Star Wars Lego cartoons. There's one that's based on a battle droid. Remember the battle droids from the prequels? Roger, mm-hmm. those guys. Well, his name's Roger, the battle droid. And essentially, he thinks he was a hero in the war, right? So he tells all these stories. He recounts all these stories about these amazing things he did. Meanwhile, he didn't do them. He was just there. But they're hilarious. And he's cute little, like, shorts. Anyway, my kid, out of nowhere, is like, Daddy, Star Wars. Yeah, Chewbacca, Han Solo. And I'm like, I love you. I love you a little more now. You're amazing. All right, guys, there's a ton of news to get through, so let's do it.
Talking about news.
The news. All right, guys, stuff's happening. Let me fill you in. Super Nintendo Land in Japan is getting delayed. No surprise there.
Surprise.
With the Olympics getting pushed, I think everything in Japan was getting set to open for the Olympics.
Yes.
And now that the Olympics have moved, so can everything else. So they made it official. They didn't say exactly when, but they've made it official that they're pushing back the date. So they said in the fall, they're going to tell us when the actual date of opening is, but it should be in 2021 before the games. But there's a lot of aerial shots. You can see photos of what this thing looks like. It looks so awesome. Yeah, I'm so jacked for it. It looks amazing. So that's a little article piece number uno. Number 2-0, maybe about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, we talked about attractions that were either canceled or not happening. And one of the things we mentioned was the Drawn to Life Cirque du Soleil show that's supposed to be at Disney Springs, replacing La Nuba. And they were in previews or technical rehearsals just as the COVID pandemic happened and they shut everything down. Well, Cirque du Soleil is in bankruptcy proceedings, so that's interesting. But in lieu of that, the show is going to be opening and tickets have already gone on sale. So even though the company is going under, The show must go on, as they say. And this show is happening. And you can buy tickets right now from November the 5th until I think, I want to say March. I think there's like a 5-month window that they're starting to sell tickets for. Now, whether...
November the 5th.
Yeah, soon.
That's fairly soon.
I'm sure you, if you buy the tickets and then it doesn't open, you can push the date, move your tickets around, but they're...
I would hope so. Yeah. Imagine they're just like, ah, tough luck, buddy.
Well, that's too bad.
You bought tickets, you should have known better.
So it's going to be opening in November. If you were strolling through Orlando in November, would you want to run out and go see this show?
I mean, am I paying for this or am I getting free tickets?
I think you're paying.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
You give me free tickets, maybe I'll go, but I don't know.
The problem is if I'm going for a Disney trip, like I don't need all the extra things, right? Like I've never even been to Disney Springs, if I'm being honest.
Oh,
I usually just go to the theme parks and then I'm tired by really? The time they're closed and I go home.
We always keep a day that's like our day off. That's going to be a Disney Springs day where we just go and relax, have a nice meal. Or we usually do when the day we fly in, we check into our hotel. We have a dinner at Disney Springs. That's kind of our jam. And then we don't go back. I don't know if I want to see a show when I'm there. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I go to Disney Springs a bunch. Really? You guys don't do it? Yeah, because the parks close like fairly. I mean, I guess when the times of year that I'm there, the parks close early. So like the parks are done at like 8 or 9.
Right. When I go, there's usually 20 family members that go together and we do a timeshare situation. So that's usually like we're all back at the house together. A movie or playing a game or just being loud.
Right on.
Right.
Big family time. I don't know. Yeah. So.
Well, I'm kind of excited for this show to happen. I mean, I do want to see it. It sounded really cool. I'm glad that it's happening. I was worried that it was just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I wouldn't be keen at going to a theater in November. Not yet, especially in Florida, to be honest. So, but very cool. Very cool that it's happening. Happy for all the French Canadians who are missing out on some work. Glad that you're going to be back in business, guys.
Yeah.
Another little piece of news is the new McDonald's opened. Look, I know people don't really think about McDonald's in Disney, but there is one McDonald's in Disney, and it's near the All-Star Resort. And it's always like the super cool McDonald's. It's like the super McDonald's. And now it's like the ultra McDonald's. It's crazy. It's this humongous McDonald's. It's got all solar panels everywhere. And there's little LED screens on everyone's table for ordering food and stuff.
Cool.
I don't know. It looks cool. Like if you're excited about going to a McDonald's while you're at Disney, which, you know.
I'm not.
No.
If I was staying.
I get that some people love McDonald's, but when you're at, there's just so many food options. Why would I do that? Listen, when I'm in a different country,
yeah,
I do love McDonald's. There's something about like going to a McDonald's in Japan or in the Philippines or anytime I'm not in North America, I go to McDonald's and I'm very excited about it because they always have items that I couldn't dream of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Totally.
When I was in Japan, I had this burger that was made out of, I don't know, like the patty was this like deep fried thing with a crust, but inside I would describe it as like a bechamel sauce with small shrimps chopped up in it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was very strange.
My wife had it. We had it too? Yeah, we went to Japan. So,
but it was delicious. I don't know that I'd want to have it more than a couple of times, but like it was definitely interesting. And the pie flavors are always like different.
Yeah, super weird menu. It's really
have like
cool.
A taro pie. Taro pie, delicious. Yes, please. Yeah,
but you could still get like a cheeseburger. Like you could still get the classics. Yeah. And they tasted exactly the same. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I will tell one quick story about this McDonald's. Maybe not this one, but the McDonald's in Disney. And that is when I was young and I was having my first like, me and my girlfriend are gonna go to Disney for a trip. We were staying at the All Star Sports, and we get to the hotel, and we're like, "Dang, the food here is expensive. Why don't we walk down to McDonald's?" And McDonald's is like, I don't know, it's like a 5-minute walk down the road. Like it's not beside the All Star. You got to walk there.
Yeah.
And we got a good value. And you know what? That trip, I think we ate there 3 times because it was just so much cheaper. And it was, I guess, food we knew. And I don't know. But it was just nice to have it there. But again, this was much younger sensibilities. Like I'm in my like late teens, maybe early 20s.
Right.
And now I'm like, yeah, if I'm going to eat and have some calories, I want to make sure I eat something cool. I don't really care how much.
Tie-dye cheesecake, please. I want some tie-dye cheesecake.
Thank you. Exactly. Yeah. I want beignets. Yes. I don't want chicken fingers. I don't want that. I want something weird and something themed. Thanks.
You know what a smart person does?
What's that?
Is they buy that cheesecake on the way home at nighttime and they put it in their fridge in the hotel room so that you have breakfast ready.
Yeah, but then you got to lug around some cheesecake. all day.
That's... No, at the end of the day.
Oh, so walking out of the park, you're like, give me a cheesecake? Oh, okay.
No, at the like the cafeteria or whatever at the, I think it's Pop Century that has the tie-dye cheesecake, right?
Yeah, that's a Pop, yeah.
And then you throw it in your fridge, and then when you wake up in the morning, first thing you do, you turn on your television, and then second thing you do, you go over to that fridge, you crack that cheesecake open, you eat it with your bare hands. You pick it up like it's a sandwich and just nom it into your mouth.
You're describing something that happened on my parents' honeymoon, actually. My parents went to the Disneyland Hotel. We were at Disneyland for their honeymoon, and there was a steakhouse that isn't there anymore, but they had a 15-layer chocolate cake, and there was a different filling between each layers, like a different fruit filling or something.
Amazing.
My dad is a cake monster. Truly, we can't. He's ridiculous with the amount of cake that he can eat. So they order a piece of cake after dessert and they take it back to their hotel room. In the morning, there was like half of the slice was left. In the morning, they planned on sharing it. But my dad goes, you can take your shower first. I'll just wait for you with the cake. Whenever she gets out of the shower and the cake is completely gone, he ate the whole thing while she was. And she thought he was being like so sweet, like, oh, thanks. Let me take the shower first. I'll get ready. I won't be long. You know, they're newlyweds. And then she's like immediately wants to murder him because he ate the whole cake.
Yeah. Really, he just wanted some alone time with the
cake. With that cake.
I love it. Yeah, Alone Time with Cake.
We'll call it.
That's the name of my next band, Alone Time with Cake. I like it.
That's nice.
Yeah. We got some more news. Miriam, what do you have for us?
Yeah, you know, a couple of theme parks in Florida are getting ready to open. And today was their cast member preview for Animal Kingdom and the Magic Kingdom.
Sweet.
But there's some new things that are happening, mainly lots of partitions. So if you like partitions, it's going to be a whole new world for you at the Magic Kingdom.
A whole new partition.
Yeah. So they're putting them in the monorail between rows. There's the plexiglass partition everywhere.
Cool.
I mean, there was some back and forth on whether they were going to do temperature checks. They are doing temperature checks. It's a tent on your way in. Lots of social distancing markers, obviously. The castle has a brand new paint scheme. So that's new when you go to the Magic Kingdom. It's a completely different castle, looks like.
Sweet.
I have some opinions about it we'll get into later.
Mm-hmm.
And the cavalcades look like they're pretty fun. There's just like a couple little floats and some people dancing in between them. But there won't be any time stamps for that so that they can just happen and people won't congregate.
Love it.
And there's more character viewing like up by the train station.
Character
Oh, Gaston viewing. Rides a real horse through the cavalcade. That's pretty cool.
Oh, nice.
There's a few things I didn't think about at all. Like the 3D rides are not up right now, I don't think, because they don't know what to do about the glasses yet.
Oh, yeah, fair enough. Of course.
And a lot of the interactive parts of these queues are being roped off because they don't want people touching them. Seven Dwarves has big construction partitions in front of all of the barrels. And then the one I'm saddest about, the Haunted Mansion, they are not doing the stretching portrait room right now.
Oh.
It just has like a barricade in the middle that you walk around the room to the next station.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Just didn't even think of that. Like everyone being in that room, not being able to social distance in there.
Can I just throw something out there? I mean, on top of the whole thing about safety and making sure you're okay, you're going to pay the same amount of money. You're not getting a discount on this trip. You're not getting a discount on your tickets to have this experience that is so limited. And we're just continuing to learn the more limitations to your experience, mm-hmm. whether it's can't touch the queue, can't do this, no 3D, blah, blah, blah. Just wait, guys, just wait. You're going to get so much more value for your dollar because you're going to have all the lights will be on if you do this later. And right now, man, I don't know. I don't see how booking a trip is a good idea and to go there now when you can't touch anything, you can't do anything. Last week or 2 weeks ago or whenever on our podcast, we talked about all the attractions that aren't going to open. They're not going to be rocking and rolling at full capacity. I just don't see how, unless you're someone who's got an AP pass and you can go whatever at your leisure. But if you're that person who lives out of town and you're going to fire a money bullet to get you and your family or you and your loved ones to the parks, and maybe you do it once a year or every other year, don't do it now. There. Soapbox. Yeah. I'm standing down. Standing down. I'm off the box.
Yeah, it's very weird to see, like, I was looking at a picture of Big Thunder today. hallway, and there's big plexiglass partitions between all the rows. So it just gets very strange to look at it because they can't social distance the two rows next to each other. So their solution was to put up the plexiglass, and it's a lot to take in. It's like a brand new thing to get used to. Not to mention all of the cast members are wearing, especially the ones working rides. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's every cast member, but all the ones working rides have to wear a mask and a face shield, which I'm happy about. I hope that they, like, I truly want them to be as safe as they possibly can be. Mm-hmm. And they're dealing with the most amount of people, but it's a lot to take in to see someone having to work with a face shield at a theme park, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you have it, guys. There's all the updates on what you may or may not experience when you're rocking the Disney parks starting now in July. And hopefully little by little, those things will, you know, disappear and some of those limitations will go away and you'll get the full experience. Judging by the way things are happening right now, I think it's going to be a lot longer of a wait than we hope, but hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully it'll be rocking and rolling real soon. All right, friends, do you want to get on and start talking about some fun stuff?
No.
No. All right, friends, we're going to take a quick break and come right back with more We Like Theme Parks.
My favorite things, hey.
Castles. Do you like castles? I know I do. I like castles. We've all been to a Disney park, and there's that weenie. Everybody loves that giant weenie. Let's talk about our favorite castles today from around the world. What a lead-in, huh, guys? Good stuff.
I love it.
Castles? I found out today that that's what they call it, a weenie. I still don't understand why. Why did they call it the weenie?
Because it leads you somewhere. Like if I dangle a weenie in front of a dog, the dog will like chase the weenie and I can make the dog go anywhere I want.
So I thought it was chase the carrot. I thought it was dangling a carrot.
No, it's follow the weenie. That's what the weenie is like.
Like who's ever said that? I've
Chris
always heard.
Walt Disney, son. A carrot for you? I don't know, but that's... The idea is that if they dangle a weenie in front of that castle, the castle's the weenie.
Weenie away from me.
I'm going to walk straight towards it and I'm going to just go there. There's weenies in every land has a weenie in it. Like when you go to Tomorrowland, the Astro Orbiter is rocking and rolling and it's like, oh yeah, I'm going to go that way. Weenies, Space Mountain, weenie. No? Okay. Whatever.
There you go. I think Chris wants us to follow him. I think that's really
what he's about. Nobody's
calling himself a weenie.
No one's following this weenie. Weenie.
What's the Fantasyland weenie?
Yeah.
It would be the carousel, wouldn't it? Well, weenie or not, castles are a big part of the iconography of the Disney parks. And needless to say, none of them are the same. There's little unique things that makes all of these castles different all over the world. But we're going to give you our top three right now. We're going to go around the horn and tell you our favorite castles. Miriam, what is your number three castle?
My number three is Shanghai.
Oh, yeah.
It's the biggest, and there's a ride that actually goes through it, which it's the only castle that has that, which I like a lot. It's pretty cool. And those are my points about Shanghai. I haven't seen it in person. Oh, I do love the Chinese New Year mosaics that they put in there. I think those are really beautiful.
Those are super beautiful, yeah. Why am I blanking on what the ride is?
It's a boat ride, and it goes through the bottom.
So that ride is actually called the Voyage to the Crystal Grotto. And it's a boat ride that goes underneath the castle.
You get crystals at the end of it? Maybe I like Shanghai better than I thought.
Well, here's the thing about that castle, guys, is that it's the first Disney castle that's based on all the princesses. Like, it's not a Cinderella castle or Sleeping Beauty. Mm-hmm. It's all of them. So,
yeah, what's the name of it? It has a name.
It's called the Enchanted Storybook Castle, right? Pretty cool. Yeah. So that Crystal Grotto thing is going to give you a themed ride that hits on all the princesses' stories, which is pretty cool. And there's another ride too. There's the Once Upon a Time Adventure walkthrough as well. So there's like two attractions in one castle. It's pretty spectacular. Okay. All right, Mark, what's your number three castle?
My number three castle, I'm prepared for a fight here. I want you to know.
Let's do
But
it.
I'm going to say it's Fortress Explorations at Tokyo Disney Sea.
It's not a castle. It's not the castle, you know?
I'm calling it a castle. It is... Who is it? Da Vinci? It's Da Vinci's castle.
It is.
It's a castle?
It's a fortress, but
isn't
listen.
A castle a fortress?
Thank you.
Listen, I'll
there's a drawbridge and a moat.
Yeah. All right. Those seem like castle things to me.
Listen, it is impressive. It is wildly impressive, that fortress. There's
so many things. There's a whole scavenger hunt to do inside of it. And even if you don't want to do the scavenger hunt, you can just stroll through and do a bunch of cool stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Remote control boats, for goodness sakes, in there.
Yep.
This looks very much like a castle to me.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's not the icon of the park. The icon of the park is the volcano. That's kind of...
Well, I would argue that they're attached. Fortress. They're attached.
Yeah. Okay. I disagree, respectfully.
You know, sometimes it's not all about the weenie. Sometimes it's beside it. The French fries of this.
That fortress is pretty spectacular. There's a boat that you can also explore attached to, like, in the harbor of the fortress. Yep. Mm-hmm. And you can, like, you can shoot cannonballs and all kinds of cool stuff. It's super fun.
They've got a high-end restaurant in there.
Magellan's, baby. Who's been there? Put your hand up if you've been to Magellan's. Just me and Mark and not Miriam.
I mean, to be fair, I went inside and I didn't eat there.
Oh, right? Okay. Well,
I went inside and I looked around and I was going to eat there, but then I ended up eating something else somewhere else in the park. And then I just didn't do it. It just kind of slipped away from me.
Well, you guys know that I'm not fancy, and we've talked about it, I think, before on an Is It Worth It Magellan's.
I have a hard time believing that you're not fancy.
I feel like the meal was lost on me. My wife loved it. I was like, oh, yeah, this is good. But
what
I
did you have again?
I couldn't.
It's been a long time. You can tell us again what you had.
I barely even remember. All I remember is that it was a prefixed meal. Like, it was like you could choose one dinner experience or another. There wasn't like pick off a menu. There was two dinners. And so I picked the chicken, the one dinner that wasn't like vegetarian.
Right.
And there was some stuff in it that I really liked, and there's some stuff in it I didn't care for. The ambiance was insane. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
The kids' meal was fine. I mean, the kids really liked it. My wife was like, this is so good. This is so lost on you. And I was like, yep. And then I think I got some popcorn when I left, you know, another different Japanese popcorn. So yeah, the popcorn. Fortress is super cool. There's so much in there, and this restaurant is top notch. So
Miriam, you're not about the popcorn? Miriam made a face when
no, I was jealous. Jealous
of the jaw. Okay. I thought you were like, I don't care about
this. Nah, no, popcorn. I want to try all of them.
Yeah, they're
please. You know my fascination with flavored chips, like the flavored popcorn.
Fair enough.
Bigger dream than the chips.
All right. My number three is the Magic Kingdom Cinderella Castle. Listen, it's fantastic. You got Cinderella's Royal Table in there, the Bippity Boppity Boutique, the Dream Suite. Come on, who wouldn't want to stay there? And it was like the first big one. You know what I mean? The first impressive one. So yeah. Whoa. Yeah. Yeah.
So rude.
Well, Disneyland was a mini version and they made a big one, and it's gorgeous. Yeah. And it's fantastic.
But you told me this would not be Sleeping Beauty Castle bashing. You promised me.
I said nothing. I'm not bashing anything. I'm just saying that that's the mini and this is the biggie. And I like the biggie. Just how you like Shanghai because it's the biggest. All right. So
that's number three though. It's not number one. No. How do we feel about the new paint job?
I haven't seen it yet. What is it?
I'm furious about it. So
you're furious? You're not happy? I think it looks okay. You don't like it?
I'm so mad. They took the exact same paint job they gave Sleeping Beauty Castle and slapped it on there. Sleeping Beauty Castle, it gets made fun of because it's the smallest and whatever. We're never getting a new castle at Disneyland. Walt built it himself.
So
give us the most original paint scheme. You're just going to throw that up on the castle that everybody already loves? It makes me so mad.
You know what?
Ours was finally special because it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And now it's just on this gigantic castle in Disney World and everyone's going to make fun of our castle again.
Yeah, it's rough.
I'm so mad. And also, it's Cinderella Castle. Why is it pink? Like, if they were going to give it a new paint job, it should have gone from a dark blue to a light blue ombre on this castle. No pink anywhere. The gold details, sure. But pink? Why?
Yeah, good point. I agree.
I'm not hating on pink. I like pink.
Yeah, on Sleeping Beauty Castle. Why is it on Cinderella's castle?
Yeah, I get it.
Cinderella's castle is driving blue for sure.
I like your commitment to theming.
It feels lazy to me. Like, oh, this looks really pretty on this one castle. Let's just throw it on this other one too.
Yeah. Well, I like your commitment to storytelling here, Miriam. That's great.
I also want to say that, can I chime in and say that my number two, I know that I don't mean to skip ahead.
You can skip ahead. Go ahead.
No, go for it.
Because we're already talking about it, my number two is Cinderella Castle. For the only reason that it has, as far as I know, it has the most turrets.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
And I think a castle should be judged by its turrets.
Some sweet turrets.
Yeah, sweet turrets. They got 27 turrets up there.
And some of them are gold now.
Yeah. Not like
You're
in California
welcome.
Where they got that really small weenie over
okay,
there.
Okay, there it is.
There it is. I got the joke out. Took a while. All right, well, my number two is Shanghai. What Miriam's number three, the Enchanted Storybook Castle. Humongous. It's got restaurants and stores and two attractions. You know what I read about it, though, which is interesting, is Shanghai... the park is so big, like the Main Street USA, like is so long and the park is so big that it actually makes the castle look smaller because it's so much further away. But then when right. you get up to it, it's massive. I thought that was kind of interesting where, you know, you talk about just how they play with your depth perception in like at the California
park. Size doesn't always matter, is what you're saying.
Maybe, yeah, because it still looks small. But anyway, I just thought that was something interesting of note. But yeah, Shanghai, I've never seen it with the naked eye, but I'm pumped to. China trip coming up in a year or so. Boom, I'll be there. All right, Miriam, your number one castle.
Well, we skipped my number two.
I was about to say, because I jumped. That was my fault. I did that.
Miriam, your number two castle.
My number two castle is Sleeping Beauty Castle in Disneyland because it's the original. Mm-hmm. It's the most beautiful one. It did have that really creepy Sleeping Beauty marionette display that they got rid of, which I appreciate the new one. The marionette thing did nothing for me, but they fixed it. It's beautiful now. It has a working drawbridge and it's been used twice. So that's cool.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so cute. It may not have this like grandeur to it, but it is a pretty adorable castle. I would want to live there for sure.
Yeah. I think when they built it, there wasn't Space Mountain and all the other things. It was the grandeur. It was huge. Now that there's other humongous things in the park, it might look a little, kind of is dwarfed a little bit, but yeah, it is gorgeous.
And I think they really tried to make it bigger. Like they really worked with Forced Perspective to make it seem bigger than it was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's adorable. I love that castle. I have about 1,000 photos of it.
I want to say, because my number one, is it okay? I keep jumping ahead.
No, jump away.
But it's just because my number one is Sleeping Beauty Castle. But I'm looking at Wikipedia and it's saying that it's going to be replaced by Castle of Magical Dreams. Do you guys know about this?
Are you lying?
I think that's what it says.
Or is that Hong Kong?
You're looking at Hong Kong, buddy.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Leave this in. Make sure you leave this in.
No, we'll talk about Hong Kong. We'll get there.
But it's just planned. That's why I got confused because it said planned.
Yeah, because Hong Kong's is called Sleeping Beauty as well.
And it's done. Like it's almost done. They're revealing it next year, but they did like a whole announcement recently being like the parks are reopening and look, the castle's almost done because you can see parts of the castle that are already finished. And it's like way better because originally Hong Kong had the same castle as Orlando. Identical, nothing different.
No, that's not right.
Yeah,
you got to change that up. No, I like Sleeping Beauty Castle for all the same reasons that Miriam said. I think there's something to be said about the original. Mm-hmm. I think there's something to be said about how cute it is and how it's just sort of like it's this sort of cute, understated thing at the center of the park. Like it's the heart of the park.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there's like, you know, there are other things that are bigger around it and it sort of dwarfs the castle. But I think there's something about that that's kind of charming and sweet.
Okay.
Yeah, Miriam, so that's why it's my number one.
Miriam, what's your number one?
My number one is Paris. That castle is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I love that it has a different shape than any of the other castles. Isn't it kind of up on a hill almost? Mm-hmm. It looks like. Mm-hmm. And that dragon underneath is incredible.
La Tanière du Dragon.
Yes.
Yeah, the dragon. And
I'm perfectly happy with that castle being pink.
It's fantastic. It's also my number one. I agree with you, Miriam. Paris is so much better than all of these castles. Because when you're in Europe, there's a lot of castles. So this castle has to be amazing. And they knocked it out of the park. And it's not just the castle. It's like the grounds too. Like the landscaping and the trees, like the square shaped trees. And it's just gorgeous, built on like a slope, like on a hillside. It is so striking. The dragon animatronic is so amazing and unique. You know, there's a shop inside as well. It just goes to show. It just goes to show. If you know your Disneyland park, when they opened it, they were kind of running low on cash. You got the OG one. It's not the biggest, but it's great because it's the original. Then Magic Kingdom opens up. It's good. It's got money. Boom. Hong Kong, we got no money. You get this ghetto castle. And then why did they not have money? Because they blew their wad spending all kinds of money in Paris on this castle. So this castle is spectacular. Even Michael Eisner has gone and said, yeah, you know, we spent a lot of money. Maybe we didn't need to. Whoops. This is where that money went, baby. And this castle is gorgeous. So it's my numero uno. Can I just say a couple things about some of the older castles that I want to throw
out there? Wait, no, I have an honorable mention.
Oh, by all means, please.
The birthday cake Cinderella castle for Disney World's 25th anniversary was so cool. And I'm so sad I didn't get to see it. I know that castle gets a lot of hate, but it was the whole thing thing they've ever done.
All right.
I thought it looked cool too. Can I just admit that? Like, I know that is not the popular opinion. I know that people are like, no, that castle was ugly. But
talk about alone time with cake. I would love some alone time with that cake.
Right? Like it I thought, because when I saw it, like, what year was that? I was a kid, I feel like, when I saw it.
It was its 25th anniversary. Next year's its 50th, so.
Right. So I was.
I don't do math, so you do that. Yeah.
I was young and I just thought it was the coolest. Like, I thought that was super cool as a kid. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I get that a bunch of people don't like it. And I get it that, like, if you were getting married and you didn't want that behind your wedding photo or something, like, I get it, but still.
But I think you're crazy. I would love that. I just thought it was the coolest thing. And then my other honorable mention castle is the diamond celebration for Disneyland. When they put all the diamonds all over. I mean, that's why we had to have a refurbishment, because taking the diamonds off of the castle ruined it. But it was really cool for the year that it was up. I went to Disneyland a few times that year, and it was specifically because I loved all the stuff on the castle.
Can I just say that in Tokyo, this is the only castle that didn't really get mentioned, was the Tokyo mm-hmm. castle. Because again, carbon copy of the Orlando castle, so it doesn't get a lot of love. But what I will tell you is it originally had an attraction. And Mark, tell me if you remember this. It was called the Cinderella Castle Mystery Tour. Do you remember this at all?
Yeah.
And this was a tour of the castle that basically you meet the magic mirror and he changes your tour and sends you to the dungeons and you meet all the villains. And then you have an encounter with, can you believe this? Because Black Cauldron was coming out or had just come out when they opened this park. With the Horned King, you have an encounter with an animatronic Horned King at the end. So this really cool, amazing attraction that got wiped out because people thought it was too scary. It's now a Cinderella walking tour now, and there's dioramas and displays, but not an animatronic Horned King. And like a kid would get a sword and like save the day and like blast a beam of light at the Horned King. And the Horned King would be, if that thing was still there, Tokyo might have been number three. Just saying that.
I love that. I love that big build up to, you know what, if that was there, that might have come in third place.
Third place. Yeah.
Definitely still not number one.
Yeah. Because it's the same castle as Magic Kingdom, but it has this cool attraction in it.
If it had that cool attraction in it, I think it would hit number one for me just because of my love of animatronics.
Yeah.
You can find there. I think there's an episode of Defunct Land that talks about it.
Yeah.
There's definitely video. Definitely video exists of that animatronic Horned King.
If you go on YouTube, you can watch the whole tour and from start to finish where they kind of make a kid like a hero for the day. And it's funny because at the beginning you see all these, if I remember like the first room, it's like a gallery and there's all these like artwork of like different heroes. And one of them is the kid from Black Cauldron. I can't even remember their name. Pip or I don't know, whatever. It's probably not Pip. I don't remember this kid's name. What's the kid's name from Black Cauldron? Anyway, let's call him Pip. So Pip and the rest of the heroes, and then the magic mirror is like, what? You don't like villains? And then all the Pip pictures turn into villains pictures, like Cruella de Vil and all the stuff.
Oh, cool.
And then he's like, forget your tour, you're coming this way, and then opens up the dungeons and you walk in, and there's other encounters too, but you can watch the whole show. It's very cool. And they got rid of it because kids were like in the dungeon crying. Oh, I'm terrified. Could you imagine? It's one thing to go through like the Snow White's Scary Adventure because you're in the Omni Mover and it's still moving. A walkthrough, you're standing in this room with a bunch of people you can't move. Kids were losing it, just losing their minds. So they got rid of this thing, which is a bummer.
I just looked up this kid and his name is not Pip.
What is it?
It's Taran.
So close. Taran.
Taran. Literally, Taran? What do you mean close? None of the letters appear. No P,
there's no I. There's no I.
No P.
No.
Nope.
Crap.
Nope, not at all, man. Taran.
Whoops. All right. Well, that's on me. Talking about Hong Kong a little bit. So they have the ruddiest of castles with nothing exciting happening.
The ruddiest of castles.
The ghetto castle. Like the
stop saying that.
Yeah, man. They're very low on tourists, Mark.
Yeah. Low on tourists. The budget castle for sure.
Ruddy? I don't know that word.
Ruddy's like, you know, like crappy, the crappy one.
I've never heard that word.
Ruddy? Okay, well, you're welcome. Put it on the list of new words from your podcast friends. Yeah, but they're building this super castle, and it's going to be called the Castle of Magical Dreams, and it's supposed to open in September, and it's this one's huge. Like, they didn't just gussy up the old one. They tore it down and built a new one, and you can even see some of it already because they're opening up the park. They did a big presentation in front of it. There's still some parts that they're working on, but it's massive. So this list could change. For me personally, after my China trip that I'm trying to convince my wife to take in a year or so to see both of these China parks. Ooh, it's going to be fun. But yeah, who knows? The list could change.
Doesn't it sound like they put a bunch of words in a Disney randomizer to come up with the name for that castle?
Castle, magical, dreams. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, you're enchanted, storybook, castle.
Just need to add like princess and wonder.
Wonder. Oh, that's a good one.
Wonder.
Yeah. Magic, dreams, wonder. They're all the names of the boats, aren't they? And the fleet?
Yeah. Word randomizer.
Yeah.
I just want to say, can I just say this from vocabulary.com? Ruddy, used to describe something that is reddish, like the color of red hair,
that's
tomatoes, or your cheeks on a cold winter's day. Ruddy is commonly used to describe someone's complexion. In this case, it describes a healthy reddish glow. Your skin might have a ruddy tone from working outside. Ruddy, vocabulary.com.
I think that's why I was confused. I've only ever read it, and it's been describing someone's face.
Okay, so you're saying I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Awesome. Thanks. Thanks. I have only ever heard the word ruddy as like it's crappy, all that ruddy, dumpy thing.
I've heard like ratty, like R-A-T-T-Y.
Like, or are you thinking R-U-T-T-Y, like there's ruts in the road?
Okay, wait a second. Have either of you ever, once in your lives, used the word ruddy to describe someone's reddish face? Like, oh.
I just said I've read it in books, for sure.
Your face is so ruddy. You've had a ruddy experience. You know, you've never done that, ever, right?
I've never described somebody's face as red or ruddy.
There you go.
Well, you describe my face as red quite frequently whenever I'm madly.
True. You do. You blush a lot. It's true.
Now we can use this word. It's perfect.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Miriam's gone ruddy again.
All right, guys. Well, hey, Uh-oh. Do you have a favorite castle at home? Let us know. Tell us all about your castle experience. Which one is your favorite? Just DM us directly on our Instagram. We want to hear about which one you like. What is your top three? But I'm definitely going Perry, may we be sure. Thanks so much for tuning in today. If you enjoyed the show, please share, rate, review, all that fun stuff. But most of all, please subscribe so you don't miss out on any of the fun. You can find us on Instagram at We Like Theme Parks, and we're on Facebook too. That's really cool. Feel free to reach out about anything. Just DM us directly. The music for the We Like Theme Parks podcast was composed and provided by Mike Troublecock. Check him out at
MikeTroublecockMusic.com.
Oh, that's good. I like that. For Mark and Miriam, that's all, folks. We'll see you real soon. Why? Because we like you. And
we like
theme parks. Miriam, no? Fine.
You went to bed.
See you next week. We like theme parks. Do we like theme parks podcast?